Ephesians in chapter 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to fill in for Pastor as he covers up in Wisconsin and Pastor Sadler's church and in Pastor Sadler's absence there. And for all of those of you who have been thinking of us and praying for us and commenting and asking how we're doing, Sandy and I are doing just fine. We're still traveling, and that's going to be ending soon. We did find a place to live, so we will be taking over that, Lord willing, in a couple of few weeks. In the meantime, to dispel the rumors, no, we have not been out following the Grateful Dead in concert, despite my lack of a haircut and my scruffiness here. At least I wore a tie today, and I didn't wear blue jeans. But we're living in a trailer, so cut me some slack. But we are doing fantastically. The Lord has been just amazing through this whole transition, the job and the house and everything, and has just been absolutely beyond our wildest imaginations how he has been carrying us and blessing us for these last months. Ephesians and chapter 6. Begin in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right, let's stop there for now. We'll go down through a little bit further in this passage as we go through the message. And this is a very well-known passage of Scripture. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. It's a favorite passage of preachers, because Paul is about to go down through what he calls here the armor of God, and he's going to take it kind of piece by piece and talk about it. So it provides a great outline for sermons and messages and things like that. There are passages in Paul that you hear preached kind of all the time for that reason. The fruit of the Spirit is another one. You just got a good nice list of things that you can point, you know, by point walk down through. And this is one of those passages. So we're all familiar with it. But I just thought that this morning, as familiar as we may be, we might need to be reminded of it and of the truths of the things that Paul is laying out here for these Ephesian believers and for you and for me. Like we said in the scripture reading, there are this world is filled with trouble and with turmoil, and this nation is within and without. There is just no shortage of things for us to see and to be concerned about, and to see and to be angry about, to see and to take sides on. And I just thought that maybe we should just together, all of us, because I need it to remind ourselves of what we're doing here what God has called us to, what He has not called us to, and who the actual turmoil and trouble and battle, who it's really coming from. Because everybody's got a side to choose. So many things going on, and so many people concerned about so many things, that there's always a side. And you know what happens? You get on a side, and there's got to be somebody on the other side. And you know who you call that person on the other side? You call him your enemy. That's who you call him. And what we need to do is we need to remind ourselves, and let Paul remind us, where the real lines are drawn, and where we need to keep our focus, and where we don't need to be keeping our focus. So Paul says again in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So that's where we want our strength to be. We want them to be in the Lord. Now you see what Paul says there? He says, be strong in the Lord. He doesn't say, get strength from the Lord, although we ought to do that, but that's not what he says. He says, be strong in the Lord. Understand who you are. That's what he's telling these people. Stand fast in Christ. You're not in the world. You're not of the world. We've been delivered from this present evil world. Say, I'm in the world. I don't know where you are. No, you've been delivered from this present evil world. And so have I. We walk above it in the Lord. You know, when you come down, when your feet hit the earth, when you stop being strong in the Lord and you forget who you are, you forget where your citizenship is. We our place is not here. This world is not my home. Our place is in heaven. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, from there, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we're not on this earth. The Lord has raised us up, seated us together in heavenly places, and that's where we stand, and that's where we live, and that's where we walk. But that doesn't mean that there's not a fight, because there is a fight. There's a fight that we need to be aware of, and there's a fight that we need to be engaged in. There's a fight that we can't sit back on the sidelines and just watch happen. So Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to sit back and watch the battle. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, if you and I don't stand in fast in the Lord and be strong in the Lord, and get our heads up into those heavenly places where Paul says we ought to be, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If we don't do that, we will not be able to fight the battle that we are called to fight with those principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, because you know where they are? Up there, in high places. We can't reach them from here. We can only fight this battle being strong in the Lord, taking our position, living our position, walking our position in Christ. Now look, those rulers of the darkness of this world, come back with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. You can see the devil working in this world. You can see the devil in so many places, you almost get tired of looking at him. I know I do. But remember what Paul says there. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Yeah, but the devil's working in all that flesh and blood. Yeah, Paul knows that. You know that. But our fight is not against them. Whoever them is, the people on the other side of the line, that's not the enemy. That's not who we're called to fight. Our warfare is not of this world. You don't fight Satan by saying, okay, you're taking a stand on that side. I see Satan working in you, and I'm going to shut you down. Or you don't like what I'm saying, so you came to express your opinion, and I'm going to shut you up. I don't care which side you fall on. I do care which side you fall on, because that's not our point here today. Our point here today is that you and I are not on either. There is no line in Christ. There is no line in Christ. Be strong in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. To them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what are the rulers of the darkness of this world? What are they doing, and how do we fight them? Well, Paul tells you right there, tells you what they're doing. They're blinding the minds. What does the ruler of the darkness do? Blinds the minds of them that believe not. So what do we need to do? We need to shine that light. We need to realize that people are lost. People are lost and dying and going to hell. And you and I have the remedy for that. And we can't be expending our time and our energy and our resources fighting any other battle than the one that the Lord has called us to fight. There are plenty of people who can draw lines and take a stand on one side or on the other. There are enough people to do that. This country has got lines drawn inside and out, and daring people to cross them. That's not for you and for me. You know, there's one line that we're concerned with. It's the line between God and men. No matter where those people stand, those people are lost. And if it's a Christian standing there, tell him to get where he ought to be. Look, this battle of ours, there's enough people who have left the battlefield. You don't need to. There are enough of us who don't know where the fight is and who think it's here and there and everywhere else, wrestling against flesh and blood, whatever form that takes, whether it's their neighbor or their government or some foreign government, wrestling against flesh and blood, and they've left the battlefield. And there are very few of us left on the battlefield. You want to be one on that battlefield of faith. That's where you want to stand. Don't get pulled off the battlefield. Don't be conformed to this world. The world's got enough fighting and arguing and hating that it's capable of. It does a plenty fine job with all of that without me and you picking sides, taking sides, and getting involved in that battle in some carnal way. You want to be involved in that battle? We ought to be involved in that battle. But it's from here, from our position in Christ. People need the gospel. Kim Jong-un needs the gospel. These jihadis need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's people fighting, killing each other in the streets. They need the gospel. That's what they need. That's what we're called to bring. Who else is going to bring it if not you? They have plenty of people to fight. We don't have plenty of people on the right battlefield. Very few, select few. Don't get called off. Don't get dragged off into fighting Christian people, fighting with all their might, sincerely, fervently, against an army of straw dummies. Well, few people are left fighting the real enemy, fierce enemy. So many have gone off and left. You be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. We wrestle, Ephesians chapter 6, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are you and I in the evil day? Or aren't we? You know, Paul says, well, you probably don't even have to turn the page. In chapter 5, verse 16, we all know this verse. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Well, how about that? We've been in the evil day for the last 2,000 years. But this day is more evil than anything else that I've seen. Well, it's not more evil than anything else that's come before. But there's plenty evil enough, isn't there, to go around. This is the evil day. You know what that means? It's the day to stand. That you may be able to stand in the evil day. You don't look out at the world and talk about how evil it is and get down in the slop with it. You just, that's not what we're called to do. Stand in the evil day when other people are rolling in the mire. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. So Paul says we need to put on the whole armor of God. And that means the first thing that we need to put on, and he's going to go down through this suit of armor now for the Christian member of the body of Christ in this dispensation of the grace of God. What's the well-dressed Christian wearing these days? Well, this is it. This is our uniform. This is our armor. It starts with having our loins girt about with truth. You know that the picture that Paul is laying out here is that of a Roman soldier who's fully clad in all of his armor. And when those Roman soldiers got dressed, got suited up, the first thing they put on was that undergarment, that girdle around their waist, around their loins, because every other piece of armor that they were about to put on hooks on to that girdle, that girding about. You know what Paul says that is for you and for me? It's truth. It's truth. You know, when Paul talks about this armor, come with me, hold your hand here, and come over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Something you need to understand about this warfare of ours. We need to remind ourselves. You know, and while you're turning there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there is, we're suffering today from, number one, an information overload. There is so much news, and every little detail of every horrible thing that happens on anywhere in the planet is in our living room the minute it happens. You know what? This is a big planet. And there's a lot of horrible things that go on in this planet. You and I, we're not created, we're not wired to know every horrible thing that goes on all over the world all the time. Amen. That's overload. That's more than we're designed to take. You know who can take that? God. You and I aren't built for that. And yet, here it is. And with that information overload, there's a lot of misinformation. Misinformation that is designed. Designed by who? Well, you know who the adversary is. To rile people up. And to convince them that those people on the other side are devils and horrible. And both sides. And again, inside, outside, doesn't matter where the conflict is. The other guy's got to be a devil. You don't think Kim Jong-un over there is thinking the same thing about you as you're thinking about him? Devil's always on the other side. Devil's on both sides. Getting both sides riled up. And a lot of misinformation goes into that. And this access to information that we have today just opens the floodgates for that. For Satan to just get in there. You know, Solomon says, the fool believeth every word, but the wise man considereth a matter. You know, you hear something, you get something from one source, and they have a particular slant, particular bent, and you get something, if you're reasonable enough, you at least get it from two sources coming from two different bents, because nobody's neutral. Everybody's got their own agenda. But we like to hear people that agree with our point of view, so we feed ourselves and we stuff our minds with that. Solomon says a fool believes every word. Just sit and suck that stuff up, because it feeds something in us. Something that ought not be being fed. But we love it so. So we just take it in and we take it in and we take it in. We don't want to be ignorant of the things that are going on, but we don't want to be fools either. A fool believeth every word, a wise man considereth. There's two sides to every line. One may be right and one may be wrong, one may be more right than the other, but how are you going to know that unless you've considered it? First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. They that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So here again, Paul is talking about some armor. And he's talking about our warfare. And again, the issue is a battle between darkness and light. Just like in our passage in Ephesians chapter 6. Our adversary is the ruler of the darkness of this world. Well, guess who the light is? It's you and it's me, Christ in us. It's you and it's me, as long as we're being strong in the Lord. Whenever Paul brings up this armor, several places, it's always the same issue. Darkness versus light. So when Paul says, let your loins be girt about with truth, see, this is the battle that we're fighting. It's truth versus error. It's grace versus hate. It's God versus Satan. Satan is working in the unsaved people in this world. God is working in you. That puts us on two different sides. But you know what? Where our victory comes from? It's not from crushing the people on the other side. It's from bringing them over. Bringing them over. Ephesians chapter 6. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now that breastplate of righteousness, you know that, by the way, that girdle of truth, as we move on through all of these things, that's that word of truth rightly divided. You know that, right? You know what that does? That makes you part of an even smaller group. An even more elite force. That much more important for you and for me to keep our heads in the game and to stay strong in the Lord and not to get conformed to this world. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now that breastplate of righteousness, there's a lot involved there, but I'll tell you what. You've got the righteousness of God imputed to you. And you know what that is? That's a breastplate. That's a guard. That's a shield. That's a shield to guard your heart. Because you know, you have confidence. You have absolute and utter confidence that you are on God's side when you're standing strong in the Lord. And you have the righteousness that God has given you. And it's not about, you don't know what I did yesterday and you don't know what I'm involved in and all of that. Well, look, if you did something yesterday that you ought not to, then stop it. Don't do it again. And if you're involved in something you ought not be, then get out of it. But your righteousness has nothing to do with that. This breastplate has nothing to do with that. This is the righteousness of God. God has given this to you. See, that's why you need to stand strong in the Lord in order to fight this fight. You can't put on that breastplate. You know, everybody on every side of every cause has some righteous reason to be there, whether real or imagined. Everybody's got a righteous cause. You know what? You and I, we're not about a righteous cause. We're about the righteousness of God. We're about a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're about. We promote and magnify and glorify a person, not a cause. So all kind of causes you and I can get involved in that are good, wholesome, moral things, and a lot of bad, unwholesome, immoral things that we could be fighting against. There's plenty of that in the world. But you and I are about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. Don't try to drag me into anything else. Don't let anyone drag you. Having the breastplate of righteousness. Now that breastplate, we just read Paul talk about it there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and he calls it the breastplate of faith and love. You know, faith and love pretty much equates to righteousness. Faith toward God, love toward people. Righteousness upward and outward. That's what righteousness is when it begins to live in you. Faith and love. Which one of those are the people on this side of the line exhibiting? Which one of those are the people on that side of the line exhibiting? You look at that and you go, I don't see faith or love anywhere in this whole struggle. That's not where I need to be. I need for these people to be where I am. That's what I need. Not to go join in with their folly. Having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So where you go, when you go, how you go, your feet shod, wherever you go. He's talking about putting on some shoes. What guides your steps? You're going to go in there? I see a whole lot of lack of faith and love. Okay, go on in there. But what are you going in with? What are the shoes you're going to be wearing? Paul says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The preparation of the gospel. Number one, that means, he doesn't say have your feet shod with the gospel. He says have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That means two things. Number one, it means you need to know what the gospel is, you need to know where the verses are, and you need to know how to walk somebody from point A to point Z through the gospel, through your Bible. That's preparation of the gospel, being prepared with the gospel. Can you do that? If you don't know how to do that, I'm not saying that so you'll, if you don't know how to do that, you'll be ashamed. I'm saying it so if you don't know how to do it, you'll get prepared with the gospel. Come and talk to me. Talk to somebody else here who you know that can show you how to walk somebody through and get prepared. Be prepared. You can't give someone the gospel if you don't know how. What do you mean I don't know how? You got to know the verses. I'm talking about techniques and you should do it this way and that way. I'm talking about you got to know what God says and where He says it. So you can show somebody. Preparation of the gospel of peace. The second thing that means is it means you need to be prepared with it and you need to be prepared to give it. What that means is that when I walk by a situation and I don't see righteousness, I don't see faith and love. This is a situation that calls for the gospel. I need to be ready to bring it. I need to be prepared. I need to be prepared to give people the gospel. Somebody you're talking to, somebody at the grocery line, somebody at the bank, somebody at work, somebody your neighbor over the fence, people, somebody you pass on the street. And I'm not saying get in everybody's face and start giving them the gospel whether they want it or not. Be prepared to give the gospel. Peter tells his people, be ready, always ready to give an answer. Always ready, you know, always ready to give an answer. People, I used to think about that verse as, okay, well, if somebody comes up to me on the street and says, hey, Dave, how can I get to heaven? Then I'll be prepared to answer that question. You know, no one has ever come up to me and asked that question. Has anyone ever walked up to you and asked you that question? You know what being prepared to give the guy, I probably told this before. George Foyer, my pastor of my youth, my Christian youth, and the man who trained me for the ministry and a lot of other things, he was the kind of guy that could turn any conversation into a conversation about the gospel, about the Bible, and about the gospel in particular. And it always amazed me how he could do that, because I never could do that. I was never good at that kind of thing. And he'd have you talking about the Bible before you knew what hit you. You started talking about... I was in a restaurant with him one time. Me and George were sitting at the table at the restaurant, and the waitress comes over, and George orders his meal, and I order mine. I ordered a Reuben sandwich. And I remember that I ordered a Reuben sandwich because as the waitress is writing down my order, George looks at her and he goes, Reuben, wasn't that one of the tribes of Israel? George is going to witness to the waitress. Of course, Because that's just, he was prepared with the gospel. Everything he saw, George was a big movie buff. And every line of every movie he ever watched reminded him of a verse. And he'd be sure to tell you about it while you're watching the movie, too. He just always had that prepared heart. And see, that's what it is. The thing, you say, well, I don't really have that skill to just take a conversation. Take a Reuben sandwich and turn it into a gospel preaching opportunity. Well, you know, if you're already having the conversation within yourself, no matter what conversation comes in from outside, if you're already having the conversation within yourself, all you need to do is invite whoever this is into the conversation. You don't have to change the subject. You just have to bring them up to speed with the conversation that they walked, that they interrupted.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
Prepared with the gospel. That means, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's what that is. Always living in you. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we fight this battle trusting God. Now, you know, if you're going to get in a street fight with somebody twice your size and twice your weight, you can trust God all you want to. You're probably about to get pounded into the cement. Okay? God is not gonna guide the stone from your sling into Goliath's forehead unless Goliath is a principality, power, a ruler of the darkness of this world. Then that sling and that stone will fly true. And God will give you that victory. And you can carry that shield of faith. And you can trust God to win this battle for you, because this is the one he's called you to. You may or may not win the others. That's on you. Tell you the truth, I'd rather my battles weren't on me. I'd rather they were on the Lord, on his shoulders. That's why Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God will give us, you know, sometimes I think we think about this battle and we say, yeah, okay, that's what we're called to. We're going to go out and we're going to, you know, give the gospel wherever we can, and nobody wants to hear it, but I guess we'll just go out and do it anyway. And it's not going to change anything. The world is just going to be the world, and okay, but I guess this is what we're called to do. Paul says you take faith with you out onto this battlefield. You take faith. Don't you leave that shield at home. This is the battle God's fighting. Sometimes we get the impression that, you know, well, sometimes God, you know, answers and sometimes he doesn't, and sometimes he does, you know, gives us a victory here or there, and sometimes we lose over here or there. Look, if you're fighting the right battle, God don't lose. God never loses. He knows what battle he's fighting. You got to be on the winning side. God's side. Take that shield of faith. You fight the right battle, you can fight it trusting. Trusting for victory. Wherewith he shall be able to quench, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All those fiery darts, you know. We think about those fiery darts of the wicked. Bad things happen in our life, that's a fiery dart. Some temptation to sin, that's a fiery dart. All of that is true. But you know, there's some of them darts that fire burns just as hot, but not really as bright. Remember, these are the rulers of the darkness. Some of those arrows are, those darts are hard to see, hard to determine, hard to tell, hard to distinguish when you've been hit. And you fall to that dart thinking that you're doing God service. That shield of faith is there to protect you from all the subtleties of the adversary. Keep you from being conformed to this world. Keep us transformed, renewed in our minds. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, that people look at that and they say, well, I know I'm saved and that's my helmet. Well, okay. We just read again over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul describes that helmet. He says, take the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Paul says the helmet of salvation here, he's talking about your hope. He's talking about the fact that we know that no matter what happens in this world, that this world is not our home. Number one, we know that this is not our place to sink in our roots. Number two, we know that God is going to take care of all of this in the end. And number three, we know that He's got some glorious things for you and for me to be doing throughout all of eternity after this evil day is a distant, distant memory. That's your helmet. That's what's going to protect your mind. Keep you from going nuts. You know what going nuts is? Going nuts is leaving the Word of God. It's madness. Going off into some other thing may look perfectly sane to the rest of the world, although a lot of what's going on out there doesn't. Not to me, it doesn't. But you and I, we can fall into madness too. Into that place of, you know, just take your eyes off the prize. Just get distracted. All Satan's got to do sometimes is just, you know, jiggle the keys over here, a little shiny thing over here, and you know, just pull my attention right away. If I'm not standing strong in the Lord, I'm so easily led astray. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. That's why we need to remind ourselves. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you want to know how to fight this thing? We've got a manual. We've got a manual. We know exactly how to fight it. And we know how not to fight it. We know what to do. We know what not to do. We know which lines to draw and which lines that are imaginary, that don't exist. People just like to divide. You know who the great divider is? Satan. The adversary. The great divider. The Word of God, praying always with all prayer. So the Word of God in prayer. You know, that takes us all the way back to that faith and love. Where's faith come from? It comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Where's love come from? Love is the love of Christ. Comes after you've got you're filled with that Word. You need to be talking with Him. Need to be praying. We need to be praying. People, past preachers, for 2,000 years have been pointing out that there's no armor in this list any below the knees. It's just those shoes for walking. And everything's up here because that soldier is fighting that battle on his knees. We need to take that to heart. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You pray for the rest of the soldiers too. The ones that have gone off the battlefield, that they would get back on. And the ones who are on, that they would stand fast. Doing that with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. You know who that Word of God is an effective weapon against? It's those principalities and power. You go quoting Scripture to some nutball in the street or some nutball overseas, you think he's going to give two shakes of what you got to say out of your Bible? What is he going to? Is he you're going to bowl him over with a verse of Scripture? The power of God's going to come in and just knock him down, and he's going to see the light. Look, that sword is a sword of the Spirit. It's made for a particular type of enemy. You give that word to someone, and you watch the blindness that's in them lifted, and you'll know that you just bowled somebody over. It wasn't anybody that you could see, but all of a sudden he can see. That's what that sword is for. To keep our doctrine straight and true, and to bring that gospel to the lost. That's what the sword is for. It's not to cut ourselves and each other into ribbons with either, by the way. There's too few of us as it is. There's too few of us as it is. We don't need to go drawing imaginary lines in church business either. Need to know where the lines are drawn and where to stand and where not to. Praying always. So, Paul tells that, you know what, the Ephesians, when Paul wrote this to them, they all knew all this stuff already too. Just like you and I do. And Paul felt like maybe they needed to be reminded. You and I are living in a day like I've never seen before. And I don't think there's anyone here that would probably say any different. You'd have to be a whole lot older than anybody alive today to have seen the likes of the stuff that we're seeing. It's happened before. Worse things have happened before. But boy, this is a low part of the cycle that you and I are in. This Paul says, be instant, in season and out of season. You know what season this is? It's the winter. You and I are in the winter. The gospel does well sometimes. And there's great revivals and interest in the things of God. And then there are other times like this. The winter. Paul says in season and out of season. You stand. Stand on the right plane. And God will fight your battles for you. And the rest, leave the rest to the rest. You and I have a calling to fill. So let's fill it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you for equipping us, for giving us everything that we need for our own protection as we fight this battle, for our own offense and defense. Lord, I pray that we would take up this battle, take up that sword, put on that armor, and get to the fight. And Lord, that we would know where that fight is, who it's against, and how to win it. We thank you, Father, for your word that shows us all these things in our Savior's name. Amen.